an invitation to join today. And so this is a joy for us to do. You know, we're missing the time when we can be together face to face. And but we appreciate the fact that we have the technology to do it. But it made me also think about the fact that we are not with Christ. We are not face to face with him. And there is a day coming when we will be face to face. And I can just imagine the rejoicing that there will be for all of us as we come face to face with our Savior. This past week, we lost two people close to us. My aunt died of cancer in South Africa. And I praise the Lord that she is a believer and is with the Lord today. She was saved late in life, probably in her late 60s. And she was saved, but today she's with the Lord. And then a dear friend who was a missionary in Botswana when we were there in Zimbabwe, he had gone back to Scotland, and he lost his wife about a year ago in a car accident, and but got the virus, COVID-19, and passed away this week. But again, we rejoice for him that he's with the Lord. And so we've had a lot of time to read and to think and to pray in these weeks. That we've been away from work and away from our regular activities. And I was listening to a message this week, so I wanted to share a few things that are not original to me. It was by someone that I really appreciate his ministry. It was my grandfather, T. Ernest Wilson. I was actually doing a study in 1 Peter and came across a message that he had given. But there were some things that I'm not going to give you his message, but there were some things in it that were wonderful thoughts on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to read a few passages together and then just share with you his thoughts, especially with regard to Peter and the revelations that he received through the Holy Spirit about who the Lord Jesus Christ was. So if we could start in Matthew chapter 16, we're at a point in the history of the Lord, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Jewish nation were turning away from him. The elders, the Pharisees, the scribes and elders had called the Lord Jesus Christ the son of Beelzebub. That's who they ascribed his miracles to. They rejected him in his entirety. And so as we pick up the story here, verse 13 of Matthew chapter 16, we read this. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Well, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" The Lord already knows what the Pharisees believe about him. But he says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so, verse 14, it says, "So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." And then one last verse down in verse 28, the last verse of this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Again, assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." In this short passage, we find four revelations that were given to Peter and to the disciples there, but Peter specifically. The first one is we see the revelation of Christ. The Lord asks him, who do men, well, ask all the disciples, who do men say that I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord replies, that's not something that came from your own understanding. This is something that has been given to you. The Lord himself, my Father, has revealed it to you from heaven. And so we see the revelation of Christ to Peter. The second thing we see is the revelation of the church. As we read down here, the first mention of the church in the book of Matthew, verse 18, and I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The Lord had never talked about the church. This was the mystery to be revealed at the coming of the Holy Spirit. And here the Lord begins to reveal about the church that will come, the church that will be. The third thing is we see the revelation of the cross. In verse 21, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. In several other passages that we find in Luke and in other parts, we find the Lord repeatedly mentioning his death, that he was going to die and that he would be raised again on the third day. Revelation of the cross. And then lastly, verse 28, we read there, the revelation of his coming. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And so those four things were revelations that were given to Peter. And of all of them, the cross was probably the most life-changing of all of those things. You see Peter's response right away. When the Lord says that he's going to be killed, he raised the third day, Peter says, it says he rebukes the Lord. And he says, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. He cannot countenance this. He cannot even imagine that the Lord is going to die. And yet the Lord is going to die. We read further in other passages as we read about the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the army, the soldiers come to grab him. And Peter's response there is to pull his sword. He's going to do battle. He's going to defend the Lord. No one will take him. And he strikes the servant, Malchus, and takes off his ear, and the Lord graciously restores the ear to that man. Peter here could not imagine the cross. It was outside of his thinking. He would do all he could to defend the Lord Jesus Christ against the cross. And yet the cross is the purpose that the Lord came. It is the reason that he came. And the Lord began to teach them repeatedly over and over and over that he was coming. And as we go now to 1 Peter, I'd like to just read a couple of verses there. We see a change in Peter that is truly remarkable. Peter is no longer thinking of defending or fighting against the cross. Peter now understands the true meaning of the cross. He understands why the Lord came. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll just read a couple of verses there. First Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 3 just so that we have the full context of this. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Remember, this is the same man who pulled a sword to defend the Lord. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And then we'll just read down one more passage. Further down in the passage, let's start in verse 18. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in Christ. The two thoughts that are shared in Peter's thoughts here, his letter to the believers, is the sufferings of Christ and the glory of Christ. And those two things are intertwined in a way that is never to be pulled apart. The suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory are two things that are tied together eternally. And Peter only understood at the time when the Lord began to share that he would go to the cross, he only understood the suffering part. No doubt Peter had seen people being crucified. It was a common form of execution in that day. Perhaps everybody of the day had seen people hanging on a cross being executed. And Peter could not think of that same fate falling on the Lord. And yet the Lord had to share with them that without this, there would be no salvation. There would be no reconciliation for us. And the Lord would not be glorified. But the Lord is glorified. And we rejoice in that this morning as we come again to remember him. I want to read one last verse, also in 1 Peter. Again, just an insight into Peter's understanding of the cross. Let's turn over to chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll just read one verse there, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. In that short passage, we read three important doctrinal truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one was a propitiation, that the Lord went to the cross for us. He suffered once for sins. He took our sins. He satisfied the debt that was owed. He paid the penalty for our sins. That's propitiation. It was paid for us. You see, the second thing is that it was substitutionary, the just for the unjust. And we are the unjust. We are those who were sinners, once lost and now found, once destined for death and now made alive through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ died for a very specific reason. The last one, reconciliation for us. We could not be reconciled to God in our own strength or in our own power or in our own goodness. But we read in that verse that he died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so we rejoice in his presence this morning that we can say we have been reconciled with God. We this morning can say we experience what Peter experienced, this true revelation of the power of the cross. Without the cross, we would still be lost in our sins. And so we come this morning to remember him, to remember our Savior, that one who was the perfect and spotless Lamb of God, the sacrifice, the one who gave himself for us. And so we come to worship and adore and rejoice in his presence. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we come this morning in his precious name and through his precious blood. We come into this new and living way because of the work that he accomplished at Calvary. And so, our Father, we think of what it cost our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to secure our salvation, the suffering that he endured. And yes, the physical suffering was awful. It was torture. It was a brutal execution. The physical sufferings were to the point of death. He died upon the cross. And yet, our Father, we think of one who was a holy and spotless Lamb of God, one who knew no sin and could not sin, who took upon himself the penalty for our sins, the one who stood in our place. Our Father, what burden on him, the sinless one, to be punished for the sins of each one of us. Our Father, we cannot even comprehend what that is. We can maybe comprehend somewhat the physical suffering, but we cannot begin to enter into the spiritual suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ endured for us. But we come this morning as those that are redeemed, those that have been brought into a new relationship with you, that today are in newness of life because of him. And our Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for him and for his willing sacrifice, his obedience, and for his love and his mercy and his grace as we spend this time together. And so, our Father, lift up our hearts, fill our hearts with thoughts of him, with our meditations. And our Father, we pray that our praise and thanksgiving might be truly honoring to the one who gave all for us as we come in his precious name. Amen.